I want you to take your Bible and turn to Genesis 28, and I want to begin reading with verse 1. And Isaac called Jacob, and blessed him, and charged him, and said unto him, Thou shalt not take a wife of the daughters of Canaan. Arise, go to Padan Aram, to the house of Bethuel, thy mother's father, and take thee a wife from thence of the daughters of Laban, thy mother's brother. And Almighty God bless thee, and make thee fruitful, and multiply thee, that thou mayest be a multitude of people, and give thee the blessing of Abraham, to thee and to thy seed with thee, that thou mayest inherit the land wherein thou art a stranger, which God gave unto Abraham. And Isaac sent away Jacob, and he went to Padan Aram unto Laban, the son of Bethuel the Syrian, the brother of Rebekah, Jacob's and Esau's mother. We find Rebecca and Isaac separating Jacob from the daughters of Canaan and also from Esau. Esau had married women of the land of Canaan, and it had displeased his mother and father. In Genesis 26 and verse 34, it says, Esau was 40 years old when he took a wife, Judith, the daughter of Beeri, the Hittite, and Bashemath, the daughter of Elon, the Hittite, which were a grief of mind unto Isaac and to Rebekah. Isaac and Rebekah did not want Jacob to take a wife of the daughters of Canaan. So they separated Jacob. Not only did they separate him from the daughters of Canaan, but they separated him from Esau. Esau was not a man of faith, and there was really no fellowship between Jacob and Esau because of that. I'm sure that Isaac remembered what happened when Abraham, his father, found him a wife in the house of Bethuel in the Ur of the Chaldees. In Genesis 24, verses 3 and 4, he says, I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven, this is Abraham talking to his servant, and the God of earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites, among whom I dwell. But thou shalt go into my country, into my kindred, and take a wife unto my son Isaac. The exhortation is, don't marry the enemy. The Hittites, the Perizzites, the Jebusites, the Canaanites were all in type and in picture the enemy of God's people. And Esau had married the enemy. Jacob was blessed by his father in verse 3 when he said, And God Almighty bless thee and make thee fruitful and multiply thee that thou mayest be a multitude of people. And he invoked the name, or used the name of God that God used when he talked to Abraham in Genesis chapter 17. He says, I am the Almighty God. Pardon. Walk before me and be thou perfect. This word perfect here is a ceremonial perfection and not sinless perfection. This term is translated without blemish in Exodus chapter 12 and verse 5. Your lamb shall be without blemish. That word, the two words without blemish, comes from the one Hebrew word that is translated perfect in Genesis 17:1. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year, to be taken out from the sheep and from the goats. Again, this lamb was separated that it might be determined whether it had a blemish or a spot. Anyway, ceremonially clean. And Isaac used the God's name that was used with Abraham. And Isaac blessed Jacob, desiring the blessing of Abraham on him, upon Jacob, in verse 4. Of Genesis 28, and give thee the blessing of Abraham to thee and to thy seed with thee. that thou mayest inherit the land wherein thou art a stranger, which God gave unto Abraham. And Isaac sent away Jacob, and he went to Padan Aram unto Laban, the son of Bethuel the Syrian. And in verse 7 we see that Jacob obeyed his father and his mother and was gone to Padan Aram. Jacob was learning obedience, and he was being separated from those in the land that would cause him to stumble. Esau learned what pleased his father in verse 6 when he says that Esau saw that Isaac had blessed Jacob and sent him away to Padan Aram to take him a wife from thence, and that as he blessed him, he gave him a charge saying, "Thou shalt not take a wife of the daughters of Canaan." Esau had already done that. But Esau's response was a sort of a half-hearted response to that. And seeing that the daughters of the Canaanites did not please his father, it says in verse 9, "Then went Esau unto Ishmael, and took unto the wives which he had, Mahalath, the daughter of Ishmael, Abraham's son, the sister of Nebajoth, to be his wife." So we find Esau only making a minor change, and it really wasn't a good one, because it was still choosing someone that was not of faith and really had been banished from the clan, the nomads of Abraham, Isaac, and he was banned into the desert and into wilderness. Disobedience to God produces consequences. And I thought it would be very interesting to see the seed of Abraham, or the seed of Esau, and the consequences of rebelling against what his mother and father would have desired for him. One of the descendants of Esau is Doeg. In Genesis 36:9, it says, "And these are the generations of Esau, the father of the Edomites, in Mount Seir." In 1 Samuel chapter 22 and verse 18, it says, "And Doeg the Edomite turned and fell on the priest, and slew on that day 85 persons that did wear a linen ephod." Here we find one of the descendants of Esau slaying 85 priests. Saul had ordered his soldiers to kill the priest, but the soldiers wouldn't do it. The priest had given David a sword and bread, and Doeg had reported it to Saul, and so the soldiers wouldn't kill the priest, so Doeg did, and he is a descendant of Esau. In Genesis 36:12, it says, "Timnah was concubine to Eliphaz, Esau's son, and she bare to Eliphaz Amalek. These were the sons of Adah, Esau's wife." In Deuteronomy 25, verses 17 through 18, it says, "Remember what Amalek did to thee, how he smote the hindmost of thee, even all that were feeble behind thee, when thou wast faint and weary, and he feared not God." One of the descendants of Esau was Amalek. And Amalek was the one who attacked the feeble and the weary and the faint of the children of Israel while they were traveling through the desert. In 1 Samuel 15, in verse 18, it says, "The exhortation by Samuel to Saul was to utterly destroy the sinners of the Amalekites and fight against them until they be consumed." Well, we all know what happened. Saul did not obey Samuel, and he left some of the Amalekites, and one of them was Agag. Agag was the king of the Amalekites, and obviously there were others that were spared as well, because Samuel slew Agag. But in Esther chapter 9 and verse 24, we find that Haman, or Haman, excuse me, was an Agagite, the enemy of all the Jews. So we need to be careful in our life to do the things that would be pleasing to the Lord. While Jacob was on his way to Laban's house, Jacob stopped at Bethel. In Genesis 28 and verse 10, it says, "And Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran. And he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night because the sun was set. And he took of the stones of that place and put them for his pillow and lay down in that place to sleep." Genesis 28:19 tells us that he called the name of that place Bethel, but the name of that city was Luz at the first. While Jacob was sleeping, we see that he dreamed in verse 12. "And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder was set up on the earth, and the top of it reached the heaven, and behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it." Not only was Jacob or Isaac asking that the God Almighty would be with Jacob, but here we find the angel of the Lord encamping around about him. Psalms 34:7 says, "The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him, and delivereth them." So we find the angels of the Lord being with Jacob. In Hebrews 1:14 it says, "And they," that is, angels, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation?" Jacob was an heir, and he was to inherit the land flowing with milk and honey. In verse 13, we find, "The Lord stood above the ladder, and he said, I am the Lord God of Abraham thy father, the God of Isaac. The land whereupon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west, and to the east, and to the north, and to the south. And in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed." Here we see the covenant that God gave to Abraham confirmed. Isaac desired for that blessing to be upon Jacob. And he expressed that desire in verse 3, when he said, "And God Almighty bless thee and make thee fruitful and multiply thee, that thou mayest be a multitude of people, and give thee the blessing of Abraham." We see that the Lord God did do just that in verse 13 and 14. The agreement was at Bethel, or the house of God. I think that's significant. We find when Abraham was sojourning in the land, he set his tent between Bethel and Ai, between the house of God and ruin. The word Ai meaning ruin, Bethel meaning house of God. And here we find Jacob at the house of God. The question that we should ask ourselves, what agreement has the house of God with idols? And obviously there is no agreement. We know that the Canaanites, those tribes that dwelt in the land of Canaan, were idol worshippers. And so there is really no agreement with those in the land of Canaan with the house of God. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 14 through 18, we see this, that it is essential to be separated, just like Jacob was being separated. "Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, or with those that are not of faith, not pleasing God. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, or lawlessness?" Lawlessness and righteousness have no fellowship together. And we know that for the two to dwell together and to have fellowship together, one has to lower their standards. And we know that it's usually the righteous. This goes out the window, and those who have standards begin to lose theirs. "And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with the infidel? The word believeth means the faithful. What part hath he that is faithful with the unfaithful? None. There is no communion with light and darkness. There is no symphony or harmony between Christ and worthlessness or Belial. And there is no agreement with the temple of God and with idols. We need to remind ourselves that we are the temple of the living God. And we find that Jacob was in the house of God. And the Lord said, as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Here we find it is essential for separation from those that are not of faith, because they will affect those that are of faith. I'm reminded of the passage in Matthew chapter 24 in verse 12. It says that in the latter days lawlessness shall abound, and the love of many shall wax cold. Lawlessness will cause those who are obedient to the Lord to be lax on their obedience. And so therefore it is essential for us to separate ourselves from those that would cause us to stop pleasing God, stop living a righteous and holy life, to stop being faithful unto God, and reducing our standards, or reducing the standards so that there can be fellowship between the house of God and idols. We're to come out from among them and to be separate, which the Lord has exhorted us, and to not touch the unclean thing. And he says, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. It's interesting again to notice that the Lord Almighty is a similar expression of God, as found in Genesis 17:1, where he says, I am the Almighty God, walk before me and be thou perfect. In Genesis 28:3, and God Almighty bless thee and make thee fruitful and multiply thee, that thou mayest be a multitude of people. A similar expression of separation. In Genesis 17, we find Abraham repenting of his lifestyle and turning toward God and beginning to walk faithfully with him, where he received the sign of circumcision in the 17th chapter of Genesis. Then in verse 15 it says, behold, I am with thee. This is in Genesis 28:15, where it says, behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land, for I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee thereof, or spoken to thee of. In verse 17 of Genesis, or 2 Corinthians chapter 6, he says, come out from among them and be ye separate, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and be a father unto you, and you will be my sons and daughters. Being a father unto the sons and daughters is one who will keep them and supply their needs. And just like in the case of Jacob, the Lord promised Jacob that he would never leave him, he would keep him, he would bring him again into the land, and he would not leave him until what he had promised to do for him. In 2 Corinthians 7, verse 1, it says, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. God gave Jacob promises. God has given us promises. We are exhorted by these promises to cleanse ourselves from all filthiness. These promises would encourage Jacob to go further with the Lord himself. as well. And we find Jacob being separated from those in the land and also from his brother that was not pleasing the Lord. In Genesis 28:15, he says, again, I remind us in reading, "Behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land." We have what it takes to please the Lord and to make our journey from here on earth to heaven. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 4, it says, "According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust." He has given us everything that we need pertaining to this life and a godly walk with the Lord. And that's through the knowledge of him that has called us. And he has given us these exceeding great and precious promises, that by these we might be partakers of the divine nature. We might cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, and perfect holiness in the fear of God. Hebrews 6:12 exhorts us that we be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. May God help us to be faithful to him. It might require us to be separated from some people we care about a lot, but it is essential for us to be found pleasing to God. And we find Jacob being separated in such a way that he would not cause himself to be defeated, and where he would not also allow himself to live a life pleasing to the Lord. Father, we do thank you so much for your word. We pray that we might receive the exhortation to separate ourselves from the things of the world, the things that would cause us to stumble, that would cause others not to be blessed. And as we see in the life of Esau and his descendants, they were not a blessing. They were a curse. They were an enemy of God. They were the enemy of God's people. And yet Jacob married of the family of Laban, and his seed was the blessing of the world. And so we thank you for your word, and we pray, Lord, that you would help us not to be slothful, but followers of them through faith and patience inherit the promises. In the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.